Hi. Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy. So, what do you think when you hear actors should work on their voices? I think, great. Except, what exactly does that mean? And why? Do I still need to do this even though I'm a screen actor, or is this just for stage actors? I'm assuming that I'm not the only one with these questions, so I asked Robin Christian McNair and Kate Udall to talk to me about this very topic. Robin is a full-time professor of voice at UNCSA's School of Drama, and she has taught at Rutgers, Purchase, NYU, and Actors Studio. Kate Udall is a visiting professor of voice at UNCSA's School of Drama, and has worked in regional theaters all around the country, as well as off-Broadway. She has appeared in Blue Bloods, Law and Order, and had a recurring role on Daredevil. Both work with their students on freedom of breath, body, and self-expression. So enjoy my conversation with Robin Christian McNair and Kate Udall on just how important working on our voices can be. All right, well, today I'd like to welcome Kate Udall and Robin Christian McNair, who both of them are here to talk about our voices, which is, I feel like it's one of our most distinctive features.
And the other thing about voices, which is that you can often tell what's up with a person by the sound of their voice. If you know someone well and you're talking to them on the phone, you instantly, you say what's wrong.
Right.
So the voices are very revealing, which is interesting for us as actors.
That's right. So thank you, ladies, for coming today and talking to me. I'm looking forward to this. So I think what I'd like to start with is asking both of you, because we hear about, oh, actors should work on their voices. What does that mean? It seems like such a huge umbrella statement. But for me, it's kind of like,
Do you want to take it first, Kate?
Sure. You know, I think that's a very subtle question because it kind of begs the question of what is it to work and then what is the voice?
True.
And I think sometimes when people first approach the topic, they think, I need to get rid of a particular sound that someone has told me is not acceptable. So maybe I need to change a dialect or something that you can tell about my class or my background, or I need to sound pretty. And for people who really teach voice, working on your voice turns out to be a very deep, very profound, very actor-friendly question about how can I reveal what's happening inside me with my voice, which is after your body, your voice and your body are the ways that you reveal what is happening to you and share your experience,
right,
which is what we're doing as actors. So this question of working on your voice turns out, for anybody who's teaching the subject with any depth at all, to be something about how do I connect with myself and then let myself be revealed through my voice. What do you think about that, Robin?
Yeah, and it takes, I mean, that type of work takes a lot of training actually speak the truth. So the idea it really is your thoughts and your feeling and your breath coming out truthfully in communication. So Kristen Linkletter, the teacher that Kate and I have studied with, and we both have certifications with, she says that communication is the byproduct of freedom and desire. And what she means by desire is a desire to communicate.
I was going to say, to communicate, yeah.
And so what she talks a lot about, and I do too, and probably Kate as well, is the first impulse. So she has this funny story that, you start off when you're a baby, and, you know, the first thing is you have to have food. You have to sustain your life. So you wail, you cry, right? What happens? You get some more milk. You're like, okay, right? Completely free. So then around two or three, you also have a life or death occurrence and need a desire for a chocolate chip cookie, let's say.
I like the life or death.
Right?
Yes.
So you run into the kitchen to your mother, father, caregiver, and you're like, I want a cookie and I want it now! And of course they say, use your nice voice, use your inside voice.
Yeah.
Right? Kate's looking at me, she's like, yeah, I've heard this story like 1,000 times, but it's a perfect story. So, you know, your nervous system, you adapt, right? Mm-hmm. So you suppress some of your breath. You suppress your intercostal muscles. You find just a little bit of air maybe underneath the collarbone so the diaphragm isn't dropping down all the way, right? So it starts tightening up the tongue. It starts doing something to the jaw. So the idea is then that maybe you're going to second impulse because you have learned how to survive, right? Mm-hmm. So the next day you go in, you have a life or death situation. You go in and you're like, you know, mommy, please, may I have a chocolate chip cookie, please? And I promise I'll be a really, really good girl or boy. And of course they go, yes, here's 2 cookies. Mm-hmm. So then you start learning, right? Learning how to survive, which is not a bad idea. However, for actors, not so great to not be able to go to first impulse. And I think that's the most interesting part about voice, mm-hmm. is that the breath begins to free, right, your impulses as an actor.
Yeah, I think that answered that really well. Yeah, and anybody who teaches voice across really any pedagogy, they all kind of point to this idea that when we are very young, all of us have very free, very expressive voices. Maybe our articulation isn't totally
like 3 to 4 octaves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's very free. And then what happens is that we start to cramp and squelch physically, psychologically. And so all we're trying to do is sort of figure out where am I getting in my way of this mm-hmm. voice that works incredibly well? And what can I do to get back to that? And like, what habits do I have that are contributing to keeping myself covered and protected?
Right. And I'd never really thought of it that way at all. But it's true. I mean, I don't, you know, if I get mad, I actually do the exact, I go quiet.
Well, especially, that's part of, if you don't mind if I say this, but I always found that's part, probably more part of your culture than mine. Being from Texas, it's like, no, we just go ahead and yell and cuss you out. But I don't find Brits yelling that often.
No,
or if
we
they do, it's
don't.
So different.
It is.
You become very clear.
Right, we
in
do.
Your consonants.
We do.
Yeah, and I'm from a sort of a WASPy world, so we also get quite.
Right,
you
too.
And you know what I think is very, you know, it varies so much from families and cultures.
Yeah.
And something is permissible. It's like, what is permissible for you? What isn't permissible for you? Which again, as an actor, it's sort of interesting.
And that can get into accents right there.
Yeah.
How do we express ourselves in the culture? Sorry to cut you off. But.
Yeah, yeah. But just this question of where do I have permission and where do I have access and where don't I? So again, as an actor, it's like how big of a palette is available to me and where have I sort of said, I don't get to express those things. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I want to be Medea or Hamlet or Lear. And my only recourse to some of those larger emotions is a habit that closes me down because that's what I learned to do in my family or my culture.
Mm. Right, because I do feel that's something that as actors we do have to overcome is allowing ourselves to be free.
Yeah.
And I've always, you know, for me it's always been allowing ourselves to be free on an emotional level.
That's
but
right.
I've never really tapped into that includes my voice, but of course it does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, and Kristen's book is called Freeing the Natural Voice. So, in other words, you're not putting on something.
Right.
You know, so often we think voice, we think, oh, I need to speak
well. I need to correct.
I need to correct.
Right.
But she's really saying freeing up these habits of holding, these things we've learned to survive our life. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be little things, but we all have them. This begins to free my inside to come outside.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
clear?
Yeah, and often, you know, I think when you're learning to act, you're constantly being asked to turn your attention not to what you look like, not to what the external is, but to how it feels, where your attention is, what what's happening inside. And it's kind of wonderful because also when you're working on your voice, it turns out that the most effective thing to do is to feel and sense and not listen to yourself. So it's, you don't want to be watching yourself when you're on stage and you don't want to be listening to yourself on stage.
Yeah.
So really good, organic, powerful work on your voice is asking you to stop listening and to start feeling and sensing and experiencing your voice in a different way. So again, it kind of turns that question of what is working on your voice
mean?
Which, you know, in the shallow way, it's like, oh, I listen to myself. I hate the way my voice sounds. Mm-hmm. And a good voice teacher will say, let's see if we can completely let that go. It's like someone working on camera. It's like, I hate the way I look. It's like, let's see if we can, let's see if we can
because
let that go.
Because you want a voice that's revealing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you could, well, if you're controlling it,
right.
Which that has been the way of studying voice for so long, and the way teachers, even though Kristen, when she started writing this book in the 60s, mm-hmm. You're still seeing in training, like, mm-hmm. oh, you need to sound a certain way. Oh, why don't you go up on the end of this line? Mm-hmm. Now, you do have to do some of that for accents, but hopefully if you've worked on your voice and you've freed your voice, this need for a certain rhythm will start becoming more organic.
Right.
In your process and be much more revealing. And I think that holds for film as well as theater.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that actually nicely leads me into
thank you.
Another question. Well done, Robin, helping me out. But so, because you mentioned, you know, characters like Lear and Hamlet, and traditionally those have been theater. So, and I think both of you have very strong backgrounds in the theater world. And I've obviously heard, you know, you have to work on your voice as a stage actor, because you need the stamina to be able to sustain your characters, you know.
Absolutely. Not lose your voice all of that.
And it's every night, and it's mm-hmm. for weeks on end, and it's, you know, a huge theater, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And so you're trying to reach, you know, those people at the very back. Film is so much more intimate, and you're not having to sustain that for hours, every day, every night. Nor do you have to project in the same way. So do film and TV actors even need to work on that?
Yeah,
voices?
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely. Kate, you should speak to that, and then I'll...
Yeah, I mean, I think
you've
it's
done a lot of television.
Yeah, for me, it's...
And it might be a different way.
Yeah,
you know?
For me, it's a more nuanced way. But it speaks to... So it's not necessarily a sense of how do I fill the space or how much resonance do I have, but... Voice work also has this beautiful way of looking at tension. Mm-hmm. And one thing that really reads on camera is tension, psychological tension, facial tension, mm-hmm. various forms of tension. And then also, voice work, well done voice work, has this really profound and, when you find it, very simple way of connecting with yourself, connecting with your impulses, connecting with your partner. And so it can be very, very, very subtle.
Don't you think it changes how you listen to the actor, mm-hmm. your breath?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
I don't really understand the science of it completely.
So are you saying that it changes...
I'm listening to you, how I'm... So when I say I don't understand the science, I'm not really understanding how it's affecting our neurons. So I really mean the science, because the breath I do understand scientifically. So... There's something that changes when my voice is free of how I'm letting you in.
Okay.
How I'm mm-hmm. not anticipating what you're saying. How I'm not just waiting for my line. Mm-hmm. There is a presence that freeing my breath brings to acting. And I see it with students all the time. And it's probably just going back to that impulse, right?
Yeah.
Free breath allows for free thought.
Interesting. Yeah, because that is something that, you know, as actors, when we're, you know, in class and training, it is, you have to be paying attention to the other person. But if you're, you know, and listening, and but if you are so...
If I am tight, and if my breath is tight, and all my attention is on myself, I'm not really going to organically be able to respond in the moment to you.
Right.
So what I'm seeing is vocal warm-up, freeing the breath, I am now available to you. I have not only released my body, but and I know this is going to sound airy-fairy, but it is true. I've really released my thinking and mm-hmm. my brain and my way of really being present to another human being in a different way. And I feel like I can listen with my entire body.
Yeah.
I mean, you not only have neurons in your head, but you have neurons in your solar plexus, in your heart, and in your gut, in your belly, mm-hmm. where the diaphragm is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have these receiving centers in your entire being. You have bones that are constantly vibrating your sound in your entire being. So, yeah, I think for film, absolutely, it's important for all those reasons Kate said, and that I can be really present to another human being one-on-one.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of students, when they first start working on voice, are kind of surprised by how many ramifications and ripples it has. You know, the voice is made with the whole body. So often, the first several sessions of voice are, where's your skeleton? How do you stand? How do you organize yourself physically? And, you know, maybe you sort of make a sound at some point in that, you know.
Like, a really primitive sound.
Yeah, a really primitive sound. But it has, so it teaches a real sensitivity to your own self, because the voice is so, is made from and of the body and that ineffable thing that is our spirit. And so,
Well, you're talking about posture.
Yeah,
there's a lot of movement. I know our listeners can't see this, but there's a lot of yeah. there's a lot of gesticulating
yes,
and moving,
yes,
and
yes.
I wish they could yeah. see you.
First thing you do
blog.
Is work on the spine. Besides, just how to stand still is always an interesting thing, and let go of the belly muscles. I know that's a hard one.
Oh, I can't. I'm still working.
It's surprisingly hard. It's surprisingly hard.
So the spine is sending messages constantly, body, brain, body, brain, body, brain, body, brain. So you are working on releasing and freeing your spine, and you're all one part. So if you haven't learned how to, you know, really stand on your feet, how is your spine and your bones? They're not going to be able to hold you up in a way that's going to release these signals that are constantly going body, brain, body, brain, body, brain. That's why you start with the physical.
Yeah.
And so that kind of did also lead into my other question, which was, how does it make you a better actor by working on your voice? And so what you're saying is that release.
Yeah, it's in the science. I mean, it really is. Just being able to get these transmitting receiving center pathways clear, absolutely, it will change how you're being with another human being. I find it makes me a better actor, and I see it with the students. You want an efficiency, mm-hmm. too, in my thought, in my thinking, in my speaking. And that's where I see the voice work making a difference in your acting.
I think for me, yes. And I think really specifically for me, it's made me more sensitive. It makes me sensitive. It makes me better able to sense myself.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me more present.
Okay.
It makes me able to receive and be affected by my partner. It makes me more malleable, more easily disturbed by my partner, because I have learned to not to control so much. I mean,
control's a big thing.
And it ripples on many levels. I've learned not to control muscularly, mm-hmm. and not to control so much psychologically. So, and in everybody, I think for some people, voice really is like the doorway into being an actor. And for someone else, it might be something else. It's not necessarily,
right. mm-hmm.
Some people who are amazing actors, they went through an amazing voice program and they were kind of like, yeah, I never really like, I mean, I've had those conversations, and if we're honest,
yeah,
we have to like admit that.
Yeah.
But boy, the movement class really like cracked it open, mm-hmm. for me, or my Meisner class. So the idea that I become less by learning where I'm holding in my body and holding in my breath, which automatically will improve my voice, I become a more sensitive, easily disturbed actor, which I think makes for a good actor, is that you can easily get moved about by impulse.
That was part one of my conversation with Kate Udall and Robin Christian McNair. I really hope you enjoyed it. This is your host, Danielle Taume, and please feel free to rate this podcast on iTunes or Spotify. You can leave a review and/or you can leave me a comment or leave me a question on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook page. Until next time.